Right now, though, we are going to talk about teacher evaluation. This has been one of the big discussions. We're talking about accountability these days and making sure that kids are getting the best education possible. But judging the quality of the work that a teacher is doing is not an easy process. WDET's Noah Ovshinsky is back here in the studio with me once again. He covers education for us. Hi, Noah.
Hi, Craig.
And also we have on the phone with us Kevin Wellner. He's the director of the National Education Policy Center. They've just issued a report called Getting Teacher Assessment Right: What Policymakers Can Learn from Research. Kevin, thank you for being on the program as well.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's great to be with you.
Well, Noah, I'm going to start with you because obviously this whole accountability issue is huge. When we look at Race to the Top, the funding from that on the federal level was tied to reforms that school districts and states make when it comes to things like teacher accountability, teacher tenure. So how big an issue is this right now?
This is a very hot issue, and in Michigan more so. As we've talked about on the show prior, there's been some movement in Lansing. Now, for now, it's died, but it may rear its ugly head again in January. But there's an effort underway to reform teacher tenure laws in the state. And one of the things that's being talked about is how to include evaluations in the process involving tenure, and how to give new teachers tenure, how to award them tenure. So this issue of teacher evaluation is really at the forefront of the conversation here in Michigan in regards to education reform.
Well, and Kevin, you know, it certainly seems as if we are moving away from using test scores solely as a model for this. When you look at No Child Left Behind, originally it was proposed that districts could be penalized for not meeting certain test scores. But I think the howl from teachers themselves and the unions that represent them was that we aren't getting a full picture as to whether or not these teachers are doing an effective job.
Yeah, they actually, it's interesting. In some ways, we're certainly moving away from what we call the threshold model, which is the No Child Left Behind. You know, everyone has to get above a certain score by a certain time. But we're moving more toward something called growth models or value-added models. And those are looked at by a lot of politicians as some sort of a silver bullet, as a way to address some of the problems with the threshold model. But in fact, they have a lot of their own problems. And as we move more toward using student test scores to evaluate the quality of teaching, we are, in a lot of ways, intensifying the use of test scores, because the people who are in the classroom with the students now are being put in a position of being told, if these scores don't go up, you will be subject to not getting tenure, be subject to firing, have your bonuses or your merit pay attached to that sort of thing. So we actually, in some ways, are intensifying the problems that we saw with No Child Left Behind in terms of the likelihood of narrowing curriculum, in terms of the likelihood of teaching to the test.
And Kevin, here in Michigan, there's been some discussion about, in terms of tenure reform, they're talking about using student test scores as 45% of the formula in which they decide how a teacher is judged. The other 55%, they leave very, very vague. they essentially leave it up to school districts to decide how to evaluate teachers. What are some of the strategies that are talked about in this report, or that you would recommend that school districts consider when they talk about that other 55% of the teacher evaluation?
Well, first of all, you're not alone in Michigan. Here in Colorado, it's 50% in our new law. And this is sort of a national push. And it was attached to the most recent push from D.C. With the ARRA money. So what this brief does, and the brief is authored by Professor Pat Hinchey of Penn State, and actually I want to give a shout-out also to the Great Lakes Center, which helped to fund the brief and is headquartered there in Michigan. What Pat did was to sort of tease out a lot of these issues that policymakers sometimes fail to sort of understand a lot of the details in what they're talking about. So when policymakers speak of teacher evaluation, they're usually carelessly focused on sort of high-stakes summative evaluation, whether the teacher should be fired, given a raise, etc. But what effective, successful countries like Finland do is to focus their evaluations on actually improving teachers, what we call formative evaluation. And then when policymakers speak of summative high-stakes evaluations, if we just focus in on that, which I think is your question, they think narrowly about how to attribute growth to student standardized test scores, attribute the growth in student standardized test scores to those students' teachers. But there are lots of technical and other problems with that that I would certainly be happy to discuss that I just mentioned. But what Pat Hinchey's brief does so well is to explain why summative high-stakes teacher evaluation has to turn to a variety of sources of information. So you mentioned 45% going toward these growth models, but that's not balanced. That's saying, yes, there could be another 55% in, but that's way, way too much. We should be talking something like 10 or 15%.
Really?
And it's because of a lot of the weaknesses in the actual technical aspect of trying to attribute student test scores to students, but it's also because of what I mentioned earlier, which is that we're creating a set of incentives that if we're not careful are going to change the way that our students are taught, and not in a good way. And so what Pat Hinchey is trying to do in this brief is to explain, you know, we don't have to do that. She mentions five other possible sources of information besides student test scores. She talks about classroom observation, instructional artifacts, portfolio, teacher self-reports, even student surveys. And none of these offer a complete picture of the teacher, but they all together help to balance out the weaknesses of the others.
Well, one of the things that you have, there's a model in here where you're talking about categories of teacher assessment. One, a teacher quality, which talks about their education level and programs that they've enrolled in. Teacher activities, which includes the things that they have in the classroom, lesson plans, and also teacher effects on students. And I think this is something that sometimes gets left out of this, is, you know, taking a look at student attitudes in the classroom, how they're behaving, whether they're motivated, and also their social and emotional well-being, which seems to me to make it very difficult, especially to gauge that effectively when it comes to a lot of students that maybe come to school unprepared and disadvantaged.
Yeah, and this is sort of the narrowing issue. This is the problem as we focus more and more on this outcome of student test scores, we lose a lot of what we think, the things that we want our children to be, the things that we want our students to accomplish and be able to do when they get out into the real world. When policymakers speak of student achievement, which is sort of the outcome measure, and what Hinchey's brief refers to as teacher effectiveness, right? That's the last category she talks about. When policymakers speak of student achievement, they carelessly focus on student scores on these standardized tests, but we know a huge part of student achievement is what takes place in, you know, all the other days when the students aren't taking the state tests, their projects, their performances, their papers, their classroom tests. And even that's squeezed out. But as you point out, she also talks about, in addition to this sort of outcome measure of student achievement, there are other outcome measures, and there are input measures, and there are process measures. And what I mean by that, and her input, she refers to teacher quality. And basically what teacher quality means is I'm trying to think of exactly how to phrase this, but basically, what are the inputs? What do teachers in the classroom bring in terms of their personal traits, their skills, their understandings that make them good teachers and make for good teaching? And then, in terms of process, she refers to teacher performance. That is, if you walk into the classroom, what makes for good teaching? What are the activities? What are the processes that are taking place? All those things should be thought of when we're thinking about how to evaluate teachers.
It seems to me, Kevin, that one of the things, and you sort of alluded to it, was that whoever is evaluating these teachers need to look at not only the outcomes, but the way and the tools that the teachers use to teach, and some of the things like lesson plans, evaluating the specific lessons plans that they use, the handouts that they give out to students, the student work themselves, the portfolios, the writing that the students do in the class. It seems to me that one of the things that this report looks at are looking at the things that the teachers themselves actually produce in the class.
Yeah, and what she's stressing throughout is the idea of balance. That is not, you know, I wouldn't want to argue that we should evaluate teachers based on their handouts. but that can be a part of it. That can be a small part of an overall balance. And what we've come to is a state of tremendous imbalance where we're sort of fetishizing these test scores. And, you know, we've been doing this since 2002, right? Since No Child Left Behind was passed.
Well, Kevin, I don't mean to cut you off because we don't have a lot of time left, but I want to ask you this question because it certainly seems as if we are going to do an effective job in determining how good these teachers are, how well they're doing their jobs. There's a whole layer of one assessment that's going to have to be added to the system, which is going to add a lot of cost to the system. And it certainly seems as if we're in an era where people aren't willing to do that.
Yeah, you know, costs, if I say, you know, there needs to be sort of an understanding of what you're buying with the costs, you know, with what you're paying. And I think that...
Well, that requires long-term thinking, Kevin.
Yeah, that is a problem, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, the idea that we can spend we could just measure the teacher's height and decide to you know, give them merit pay or fire them based on their height. I mean, but it's irrelevant. It's not useful. And so we need to understand the limitations of what we think a bargain is. You know, yes, we can just give students a test and decide whether or not a teacher should be hired, fired based on that test. But the problem is that what Hinchey does is she goes back and looks at the research and says, this is not a good way of evaluating teachers. There needs to be a much better, deeper understanding of what good teaching is, because if we look for the quick bargain, then we end up losing, you know, the high-quality teaching force that we really need.
All right. Well, we have to wrap it up right there, Kevin. This is just a nice opening salvo in this ongoing discussion we're going to have about this as, of course, the politics around this issue really start to swell. Noah, thank you. We know you're going to be following up on this as well. But I'd like to thank Kevin Wellner. He's the director of the National Education Policy Center. The report, of course, released today. We're going to put a link on our website. Is there an easy place people can go to check it out?
Yeah, it's just if you go to nepc.colorado.edu, you'll find it there.
Well, very good. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it, and we will talk again.
Thank you very much, Craig.
All right. Kevin Wellner, director of the National Education Policy Center in Colorado, joining us here on the Craig Folly Show on WDET. Thank you, Noah, as well.
Thanks.